You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on February 4th, 2021. And today we're going to be discussing the end times, moral relativism, and abortion. And for links to all the stories we're going to be talking about, as well as other related materials, you can check out the show notes, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/020421. Now for the news this week. The first story we're talking about is this. A vast majority of pastors see signs of end times in current events. From Lifeway Research, it says almost 9 in 10 pastors see at least some current events matching those Jesus said would occur shortly before he returns to earth, according to a new survey focused on Christian eschatology, or the study of end times. Now, this story is really not surprising. Maybe the percentage is a little bit surprising. I was a little bit surprised it was that high, about 9 in 10 pastors who will see current events in these prophecies. But maybe you're not surprised by the percentage. But regardless of whether that percentage is what we would expect it to be, or maybe we thought it was high or low, I think all of us have encountered people who have either speculated or at least wondered whether current events should be placed in these passages that contain these Bible prophecies. Because it's common for people to do this. They read about things in the book of Revelation. They read about, as that quote from that article, referring to what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and the prophecies there. They want to put current events in that time period. And this has been going on for generations. This is not something new. It's when we think about the time that we live in, with we're experiencing things that most of us haven't seen before, and it seems like all these events are coming just one right after another, it's understandable, I think, that people would wonder, is this what we're experiencing now? Is this a sign that the end is coming soon? Is this a sign that the Lord is going to return? But again, this is not new that this has been happening. That this has been going on before. A few years ago, I read a book by A.M. Morris called The Prophecies Unveiled, and it was written 100 years ago or so. And what he was doing was basically was taking current events of his day and using them, trying to fit them into the book of Revelation and show how, as he was looking at the perspective of, here's the Great War, we refer to as World War I, you have this going on and you have the history of Europe and all of these nations rising and falling, and he's trying to put all of them in the book of Revelation and the kings and all of these things that were happening, and to make the case that, well, this is all of this is being pointed to, all of this is being talked about in the Bible. Well, now 100 years later, it's pretty easy to see that, well, that's not what was going on, because we haven't encountered the end yet. And this is not, I just cited him as an example because I read that material, and I tried to find for the show notes a link to that book, and it's an old book, it's out of print. I tried to find a PDF copy, and I wasn't able to. But if you can get a hold of this book, and there are others like it too, you can see an example of how people 100 years ago were looking at current events for them as, well, this must be a sign that all of these are in these prophecies. And this is not to pick on A.M. Morris. He was a very smart man, very conscientious preacher. But he missed the point on this. And that's what a lot of people do today. They miss the point. And even in that article citing what Jesus said there, you have these prophecies in the Bible. And the problem is that there's a misunderstanding about what is being discussed in those prophecy passages, and people trying to think that, well, this is what's going on now. In Matthew 24, that is often cited, and it was cited in that article that we read, and it's going to be linked in the show notes. That chapter is largely about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, and the signs that Jesus said were coming, that people say that in that article, it says that they will occur shortly before he returns to earth. Jesus was talking about what was going to happen when Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70. Because the discussion began with Jesus' statement to his disciples, "Do you not see all these things?" And he's referring to the temple and the temple buildings as they were walking by. He said in verse 2, "Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And his disciples were asking him about this, and so he explained what he meant. He explained the signs that they could watch for to know that that temple, all of those buildings, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The book of Revelation, a lot of people want to cite that. Revelation is primarily about things which must soon take place, as Revelation 1 and verse 1 says. It's not talking about things that are going to be scattered abroad over the centuries and will be unfolded for people who were not the original audience of the book. Now, the Bible does indicate there is a future return of Christ for the day of judgment. The scriptures do teach that, and it's in the book of Revelation. It's also in Matthew 24, but a lot of Matthew 24 is about Jerusalem and the destruction of Jerusalem. A lot of Revelation is about things which will shortly come to pass. But there are passages that do talk about the future return of Christ in the day of judgment. However, verses like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 and 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 talk about that day coming like a thief. A thief does not announce when he's going to come. A thief comes when you don't expect. That's the point of those passages. So after Jesus gave his disciples various signs that would indicate to them when Jerusalem was going to be destroyed so they could get out of the city and be spared, he then talked about this future day of judgment. In Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." And yet, who are we to think that, well, we've figured out when Jesus said, well, angels don't know, only the Father knows, not even the Son, only the Father knows. But we figured this out. We figured out where these signs are, and these signs are pointing to the end times, that Jesus and his apostles said would not be there because this day is coming like a thief. We need to be very careful not to read current events into the pages of Bible prophecy. We need to look at the prophecies in the Bible for what they were intended to convey. There are prophecies that point to the end that is still awaiting us, but a lot of the ones that people want to point to are not talking about that. They're talking about judgments that have already happened. They're talking about things that have already come to pass, that they were in the near future of the people who were reading about them, but they are not ones that are yet in our future. So for more about this topic, you can check out a couple articles I have linked in the show notes. One is an article titled, "When Will the Lord Return?" And then there's another one called "Rapture and Tribulation," because this is the idea that people have, that this rapture is going to happen, we're all going to be taken up, and it's basically the idea that many people have of the end times and what is going to happen. We need to be careful about how we interpret these events, because these things have come and gone for generations, and we don't want to leave people disillusioned into thinking that, well, this is never going to come because of, look at all these predictions and look at all these people who have said this is going to happen and it doesn't happen. It is coming, but the Lord's return is coming like a thief when we do not see signs for it coming, when we do not have anything indicating that it is near. We just have to be ready. The next story. New study shows 74% of American teens and young adults embrace moral relativism. A story from Discern says, according to a new report from the Barna Group in partnership with Impact 360 Institute, most teens and young adults subscribe to the philosophy of moral relativism, believing that many religions can lead to eternal life. The results found 65% of Americans aged 13 to 21 believe, quote, many religions can lead to eternal life, unquote, a 7% increase since 2018. Researchers also found that 74% of that age group at least somewhat agreed with the idea that what is, quote, morally right and wrong changes over time based on society, end quote. 31% of respondents strongly agreed with that statement, a jump of 6 points. Now, this trend should not be surprising given the state of our society. People are moving further away from God, and this is reflected in the upbringing of young people. And so the idea that, well, there's many ways that lead to eternal life, that we can't know what's right or wrong, or that changes with society, that's not surprising with the way that our society is going that that would happen. But there are at least two ideas in this that I think we need to guard against, and we also need to teach against. First is the idea that many religions can lead to eternal life. That idea is false. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Peter declared in Acts 4 and verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is only in Christ, and there is no way to heaven but through him. And the second idea is the idea that what is morally right and wrong changes over time based on society. Again, that's not true. Psalm 119:160 says, the sum of God's word is truth, and it is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. So what we need to do is we need to hold fast to that unchanging standard of truth, not embrace the ever-changing opinions of fickle man. Because what society deems as right and wrong is always going to be in a state of change. It's always going to be different from one generation to another. But the Word of God does not change. We need to recognize that salvation is only through Christ, and truth is only in Him. So we need to remember that, teach that, and guard against this idea that, well, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe, or it really doesn't matter what path you take, or what is right and wrong may change over time. A couple articles linked in the show notes. One is titled The Way, the Truth, and the Life, based on that statement that we read from Jesus in John 14 and verse 6. And the other one is an article titled The Unchanging Standard of Truth. So I invite you to check out both of those. The third story we're going to look at today. A poll finds that more than 7 in 10 young American adults favor limits on abortion. From Christian Headlines, it says, according to a new poll by pro-life advocacy group Students for Life of America, a majority of millennials and members of Generation Z in the U.S. support several restrictions on abortion. The poll findings reveal that more than 7 out of 10 express support for limits on abortion. Now, this may sound like it conflicts with the last story. The last story, we talked about how young people embrace moral relativism, yet this story says young people are in favor of limits on abortion. How? What's going on here? Why do you have a seemingly contradiction in these studies? Well, the reason for that is because, well, number one, studies aren't always perfect. And they provide a snapshot, but they don't always give the whole story. But another thing that I want to make sure we understand when we read statistics like this, or when we read about this survey or this poll that happened, we need to be mindful of how they define young people or whatever other demographic we're talking about. The previous story about moral relativism, that was focused on 13 to 21-year-olds. Basically, high school, maybe middle school, high school, and college age students. That's basically who they were talking about. And you have them embracing moral relativism. This story included millennials and members of Generation Z. I think a lot of times when we hear millennial, especially a lot of older people, they hear the word millennial and they think, you know, young people. They think of those who are students, who are maybe college age. Millennials, that group, includes people who are 40 years old. I just turned 40 years old, and I technically, even though I don't really think of myself this way, but in terms of these surveys, I would technically be classified as a millennial. And I am middle-aged and have 5 children, and so I'm not a young person anymore. So we need to be careful when we look at these stories, when we read about these stories, we need to understand what they're talking about. But you have people in their 20s, 30s, and maybe early 40s. They are now in this group where 7 out of 10 believe that there should be some limits on abortion. So this is, I think, somewhat encouraging. Obviously, it would be better if you have 7 out of 10 or more than that would have supported a ban on abortion, since abortion is the practice that involves the deliberate taking of a human life. But maybe this is a start. Maybe this is a start in the right direction where things can be turned around and that practice would not be as accepted and tolerable in our society as it has been over the last several years. And we've talked about abortion a couple times already on this podcast. I'll link to the articles that we've mentioned before. One is a study on social issues that I put together on the topic of abortion. And I'll also link to one of the earlier podcasts a few weeks ago where we talked about abortion deaths. I'll link to that again. If you didn't see those statistics, you can listen to that episode or look at the show notes where that is linked to and see the statistics there on abortion deaths, because I think that's important to be reminded of. But it does seem like this could be somewhat encouraging of the attitudes that people have toward abortion for those who are young adults and approaching middle age. That is somewhat encouraging. Now, next week, I thought about doing it for this week, but I didn't have time to really put something together on this. So next week, I plan to talk about conspiracy theories. We hear a lot about conspiracy theories these days, and some are very quick to believe any conspiracy theory that comes along. Whatever they hear, whatever they read on the internet, they're very quick to believe that. And there are others who are very quick on the other side to dismiss all, quote, conspiracy theories as, you know, ridiculous, and no one should ever, you know, consider them at all. As Christians, we should not take either of those approaches. So unless some major news story happens over the next week, I plan to consider the topic of conspiracy theories more next week. But I wanted to announce that, so hopefully you'll tune in and consider the things that we're going to have to talk about, because I think we need to be careful not to go to either extreme. We don't want to be gullible and accept, you know, every crazy theory that's out there. But we also do want to be careful and not dismiss every idea that's out there. And so we need to try to strike a balance. So we're going to talk about that, Lord willing, more next week. But that's all for this week. I want to thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and ultimately helpful as we consider what the Bible has to say in light of current events. For links to the news stories that were cited, as well as other relevant links, you can visit the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/020421. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this episode or who might benefit from the discussions here, I ask you to please share it with them. Also, if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion here on the podcast, you can email that link to me, and I'd appreciate that. The email address is andy@plainbibleteaching.com. So thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.